Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour cosmic cocktail party. GA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
A happy Monday. Thanks so much for joining us for a brand new week of wild woolly fun here aboard the mothership. Thanks so much for making us part of your week, part of your morning, and we'll be here each and every day throughout the week, as always, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can. Coming up this morning here on the show, Adam Rank is going to join us. Always fun to have Adam drop on by the show. He writes for NFL Network. You see him at NFL.com as well. He's going to join us coming up in hour number 4. Adam is a huge Bears fan, absolutely huge Bears fan, and he has been overwhelmed with optimism and cheer, and this is rare commodities for Bears fans after the Justin Fields draft pick a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to talk about that with Adam. His sky has opened up. His life has changed. The Bears have an exciting quarterback prospect. Plus, as a Bears fan, I'm sure he has a proper amount of Packers distaste. And so we'll talk to Adam about the Rodgers situation as well. So that should be a lot of fun. Adam Rank joining us in hour number 4 this morning. Elsewhere, this hour, was it a rat or a raccoon? A bizarre weekend and night for the Mets that may have saved their season. Knicks and Clippers as well yesterday as New York continues to impress. And the Clippers might give us a swoon warning here before the playoffs begin. About a week from now, regular season of the NBA wraps up. 1 week from yesterday. Also, in the NFL, all eyes are on Green Bay, as I mentioned, and the league might be bracing for Rodgers to be traded. We'll tell you how we can read those tea leaves. Bryson DeChambeau, the scientist, had a wild weekend where he thought he had missed the cut, flew home on a flight, only to realize upon landing, crap, I made the cut. Really? And DK Metcalf, who is perhaps the strongest wide receiver in the NFL, just went out with sprinters and tried his hand to the 100. We'll tell you how he did. All of that coming up this morning, and a diabolical situation unfolding with Schwartz on Twitter, where apparently he's getting some heat from other corners of the sports media world, and it's not even us. Whoa. All of that this morning here on the show. So you can hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, hit us up as well, DA on CBS. You can follow me and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. But I want to begin with Zion Williamson, who injures his hand and is now done for the season, more than likely. They have said he's out indefinitely. Indefinitely is a problem for a team scuffling even to make the playoffs. So more than likely, if the Pelicans end up clinching a playoff spot, they will not have Zion for that run. David Griffin, his GM, was extremely critical of the NFL in his press conference about this via Zoom on Friday, saying that the NFL, the NBA rather, officiating has not done Zion any favors, that the NBA officiating has allowed harder fouls against Zion than anybody else in the NBA, that what he's witnessing with Zion night in, night out is akin to what happened with Shaq, where officials, refs, allowed everybody to take their hacks at Shaq and really bludgeon him because he was so much bigger and stronger than everybody, and that if you could call a foul every play, you should call a foul on every play, but that Zion does not get the benefit of the whistle. So we asked this question this morning. As the NBA will have a postseason without Zion, because either the Pelicans are not going to make it or they are and they're going to do it without him, should the NBA take blame in how Zion got injured? It is where we begin your cold open.
Over a period of time, it's a striking injury, and it's a force, it's a blunt force injury. So he was being beaten on the hand over and over and over again. So for me to tell you one time, I don't think I can do that. I don't think he knows one time. So it's been ongoing throughout the year. I've had multiple conversations with multiple individuals that run the officials, individuals that run basketball operations. We've sent in film. So throughout the year, it's been an ongoing situation. Coach has actually had his staff sending in clips as well in an effort to protect Zion throughout this time. So it's been an ongoing effort. And again, I want to be clear, Will, and I appreciate the question. We failed. We did not protect him appropriately. We did not make the message clear enough because this was avoidable.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
And for that commentary, David Griffin earns himself a $50,000 fine from the NBA. David, come on down and sign that check. Here's the thing. On the play that Zion got injured, he's going up for a rebound against the Warriors. And it is a common, classic, traditional, run-of-the-mill rebounding play for all involved in the NBA. There should not have been a foul on that play. Or if there should have been, it was not any type of dirty play that the officials let go. On the play itself where Zion was injured, that's not the problem. The problem is, as Griffin is theorizing, that this is an injury that ended up happening over the course of time. That because he's been beaten up so badly, because the NBA has allowed so many hard fouls on him, because players can go after him and not have to worry about superstar treatment where he gets the whistle, they've beaten him down, and that this was a culmination of a lot of effects. And that part I agree with. If you're just looking at this play itself, you're not going to sit there and go, oh my God, I can't believe the officials let anybody get away with that. No. This is about, you do have to officiate Zion differently than any other player you've seen in recent years. And here's why. Zion's built like a power forward, but plays like a wing. He's built like a freight train and yet plays like a guard. Zion's ball handling, Zion's explosive moves to the basket, Zion's ability with his footwork to find space Zion's jumping ability, all of that, the play itself, his play looks like a small forward, but doesn't play like that. Looks like a swingman, doesn't play like that. He ends up, or at least doesn't look like that. He looks like he's a big, beefy power forward that down low is going to bang bodies. So I do agree with David Griffin that officials have a tough time officiating Zion because his play does not equal what his size is. And that's a testament to him and his athleticism. We've seen this blossoming of Zion this year where he has clearly turned into one of the best young players in the game. And if you watched him for even an iota of a second in college, you knew this was what his potential was. And Zion, from a weight standpoint, has been able to keep his body close enough to a very good playing weight to allow his game to flourish and allow his game to remain explosive and to remain above the rim. But yeah, I do think that a lot of guys get away with stuff on him because when he's down low or he's driving to the basket, it's very much like a Shaq situation. Now, Shaq's game was different. Shaq was all low post. Zion's obviously not. But when you see him guarded by somebody and you just see, boy, that guy that's guarding Zion is leaner, he's lighter, he's smaller, and he's slower, that's going to lead to a lot of reach-in fouls, a lot of hacking, a lot of swatting, a lot of physicality that just does not end up getting called because guys bounce off him. It's how he's built. I would say this. If David Griffin is trying to get Zion more attention publicly because he's done so privately and it hasn't gone anywhere, I get it. I do get it. Because you want to protect your star. And Griffin is well aware that the Pelicans don't go anywhere. And right now they're just on the outside of that play-in tournament for the Western Conference playoffs. They're not going anywhere without him. So trying to get the officials and the league to notice something for your guy, hey, that's par for the course. That's defending your guy. That's what good GMs do. That's what good coaches do. I would say if you're in the NBA and in the league office, in the officiating office, hey, it's also good for business to make sure that Zion's not getting hacked all the time because people tune in to watch him. The NBA is usually really good about these things, let's face it. They like to protect their stars, but Zion's also young. He'll end up developing and growing the benefit of the doubt from the officials. I don't think this will end up happening his entire career. He's still really young, still really early in his career. But yes, do I think it happens? Absolutely, I think it happens. I don't think that David Griffin is making something up out of thin air. I do think this happens with players like Zion. I will say he's not the first one, won't be the last one, but it does happen with him, yes. And unfortunately now he's likely done for the rest of the season, however long that is for New Orleans. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. One more note on Zion. He's averaging 27 points, 7 rebounds, nearly 4 assists while shooting 61% from the field. He has made the leap. He has made that jump as a young player into now being a dominant player. And I think it's really, as I said, a testament to him and his work ethic and making sure that he's not just a one-trick pony, and there were some concerns coming out of college. Is he just a jumper? Like I said, if you watched any part of him in college, you knew he was much more than that. But he has committed. Was he too heavy, too overweight during the pandemic, etc.? Perhaps. But he has, I think, erased a lot of the doubt that people ever had about him, if you did, and has really grown into one of the best players of the NBA at 27-7-4. That's what he's averaging. The kid has been dominant and has been really, really fun to watch. What do you think, Mraz? Does Zion not get the benefit of the doubt from the refs?
Yeah, but I don't think that David Griffin needs to complain to worry about him eventually getting the benefit of the doubt. It's only year two and a funky year for officials and COVID and everything else that's gone on at that. Every NBA superstar ends up getting the benefit of the doubt. It's why fans sometimes hate on LeBron because he feels like he's always whining for calls. Zion, as you just pointed out to all those stats, is propelling himself right to the front of the list as if he wasn't already basically ahead on a jump start with all the NBA marketing they have done to make sure that Zion is on TVs and on eyes everywhere. Zion's going to get there. It's just year two, and you almost kind of have to wink, wink, earn your stripes with officials as a superstar, and maybe this injury, even without Griffin saying it, was going to do that ahead of year three for Zion.
I think that's true, and I think that LeBron is a good comp. Obviously, who knows if Zion's career ever even scratches what LeBron's is, but when LeBron came into the league, and still today, much less so, but certainly for a while, because he was just so big and so strong compared to the other guys on the floor, specifically playing where he was playing, oftentimes bringing the ball up as the point guard, he didn't get the benefit of the doubt either early, and Zion had to earn his stripes, and Zion, I should say, and LeBron also was the beneficiary, or I should say, was the victim in a lot of those reach-in fouls and hacking a guy towards the basket, and his coaches early would say the same exact thing. Hey, LeBron's not getting the benefit of the doubt here. He's getting fouled at every play. Why not call that? So you're right. This has happened before, and it's evened itself out. Probably will do the same thing with Zion. When we come back here on the show, the Mets had a fight in the tunnel. Maybe they were just trying to identify different mammals like the Bronx Zoo. Whatever the case was, it seems to have saved their season. We'll tell you why coming up here next. Rat or raccoon? Do we believe this? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
What a nice story. That mother, imagine a pain in her heart. And to find your daughter after that, oh, that's incredible. I'm like fluttered.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I think you mean flustered. Doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. The Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Use the Home Depot mobile app to put over $2 million and 2 million products in the palm of your hand. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. How about reigning NL MVP Freddie Freeman blasting a home run and going 3-for-3 in the Braves 6-1 win over the Phillies on Sunday? Atlanta has won 2 straight and 5 of their last 6 games. We appreciate you being with us. Remember that the DA show's in the palm of your hand as well. Take that little phone and get yourself the CBS Sports app. Or get yourself the Odyssey app, which is formerly the radio.com app, and just punch in beep, 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 pop, boop, like an old touch-tone phone, and ring up the DA show each and every morning. We are streaming for free on your phone or any other device that has those apps right here for CBS Sports Radio.
Oh,
oh. That's what me and Bogus and Bilotti were saying after the Mets' dramatic victory over the weekend over the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh!
Oh! Look at that, Lindor! Ah, thank you!
Oh!
Thank you! Thank you, Stevie Cohen, for buying this franchise! Oh!
Oh!
Wait, how much is Steve Cohen worth? $17 billion with a B?
Oh!
So Steve Cohen buys this franchise over the offseason away from the penny pinching Wilpons, and Steve Cohen brought with him a huge ray of sunshine. Oh, we're not owned by the Wilpons anymore. This is going to be good times. Click your heels. Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Come on up and great. They trade for Francisco Lindor. Woohoo! They get a deal done, extension. Woohoo! Woohoo! Smiles, back pages, Sports Illustrated cover. This is going to be good. And then Lindor stunk. first month of the season, he really stunk. And suddenly there's some buyer's remorse. Wait a second. This is not the way it's supposed to go down. Wait a second. And so over the weekend, it was starting to come to a head. And the offense, once again, couldn't hit for Jacob DeGrom. And Francisco Lindor didn't look anything like the MVP candidate he had been. And it was very uncomfortable with him and Jeff McNeil on the infield. Didn't seem like they were hitting well next to one another or playing well defensively. Didn't seem like anything was really working. Seemed like frustration was boiling over. And then there is a play on Friday night in a tight game where between the two of them, it's uncomfortable, awkward, who's going to field the ground ball. Finally, Lindor gets to it, doesn't make a throw, and ultimately, it looks like frustration is boiling over. And it's uh-oh. Seen this song and dance before. Mets make a huge addition to the offseason. Can't wipe the smile off my face, said Bobby Bowe once upon a time. And then in short order, he would be wearing earplugs. Oh, no. Here we go. Lindor, McNeil, they don't like one another. Another botched play. Oh, brother. And then, lo and behold, Lindor hits a two-run home run. Ties up the game. Oh, okay. All right. Here's something. And then we have the incident in question. Now, I don't know where you live. I'm sure we have listeners in every single part, region, state of this country. In New York, where this game was being played, we've got disgusting rats. Really hideous, heinous, disgusting rats. I find them completely reprehensible. For some reason, my wife actually thinks they're cute. I don't know how. These little beady-eyed rodents critters are so disgusting. They're mangy and gross and just, ugh, really gross. Really grody, disgusting little animals. And I don't know where else we have listeners that are living, but if you live anywhere in the woods, you probably, or go camping, or have been in the woods, or have a cabin, or what have you, or even just watched cartoons. There's raccoons. And raccoons definitely don't look like rats. Raccoons are much larger. As disgusting as rats are, even in New York City, they do not reach the size of raccoons. Raccoons have that big bushy tail, that huge. Rats have that little stinky, gross worm tail. Raccoons have those big markings on their eyes. Rats are just like gray and disgusting or brown. They got no different markings. But specifically, there's a difference in size here. A rat, even in New York City, is probably the size of like a banana split, whereas a raccoon is like a really large toaster, maybe even a toaster oven, maybe even larger than a toaster oven, maybe like an air fryer. Like, that's a pretty big discrepancy. It's like a box of banana splits. And the cameras pick up Lindor and the rest of the team pointing at something in the tunnel and running over there. And Lindor and McNeil disappear for a while. And the team is pointing, and at first it looked like it was really intense and uncomfortable, and Lindor had looked like he was angry or frustrated, and then it seemed happy and fine. And nobody knew why. What happened? The Mets end up winning this game, coming back in extra innings. And after the game, Lindor is asked what happened. And Lindor insists it wasn't a scuffle, it wasn't a fight, it wasn't him and McNeil maybe even yelling at one another confrontationally in the tunnel. Instead, they couldn't decide on whether they were looking at a rat or a raccoon in the tunnel. And nobody believed it. Nobody. And even when McNeil is asked about this after Lindor's crazy story, McNeil just laughs and says, okay, I guess that's what we're going to go with. The Mets' own GM, after the Associated Press reported that they had a, quote, apparently heated exchange, said, yeah, it wasn't ideal. Even their own GM, Zach Scott, is saying it was probably not ideal. And Lindor's like, there wasn't anything. We were just debating on whether it was a rat or a raccoon. Clearly something happened, because I don't think that your GM is going to say, yeah, our debate on rat versus raccoon wasn't ideal. But seemingly, since the incident, the Mets are feeling good and doing well. In fact, Lindor comes over to Jeff McNeil's conference and wraps his arms around him, hugs him, kisses him on the top of the head. Kumbaya in Mets land, which, let's face it, never happens. In fact, the Mets are in first place in the National League East. After a bizarre Friday night and the weirdest story ever, it appears like, you know what? Maybe that's exactly what they needed to clear the air between those two and get Lindor into a good headspace and maybe McNeil as well. And, of course, because there can't only be good news in Mets land, we learned that Jacob deGrom has lat tightness, of course. But there's a lot of pressure on Lindor. He knows it. There's a lot of pressure on this team because of their new owner. They all know it. And they had not been playing as well as they could have. And maybe they needed to pop the top off. Maybe they needed to let off a little bit of steam. And I, for one, am here for it. Sometimes you need a good scrape. Sometimes you need a good argument. Sometimes you need to let it all out. What was it a couple of weeks ago where I was really laying into Bogish? Oh, it was about the Brady thing. I love Bogish. I really do. Love him. But I just needed to scream. I just needed to yell. I was probably mad at Mraz and probably directed it or misdirected it at Bogish. It just happened to come up in that debate. But afterwards, I felt great and have felt great ever since. Sometimes you just need to scream and yell or scuffle or scrape. This helped. I'm telling you, it helped. And now they're soaring. Bogish, I'm telling you. This might have reset the entire season. Rat versus raccoon and wrestling in the tunnel.
First of all, you're still an idiot. It was a raccoon, not a rat, when it came to Brady. So you're wrong still on that all these weeks later. But yeah, I mean, like, this is what I don't understand, again, about the Mets. Everything is so difficult. This was not a problem. We're all adults. We've all seen this before. As long as one of them didn't hurt the other one in a fight, this doesn't matter. It's okay that they fought. It's okay that they yelled. It was about baseball. It wasn't about, like, any kind of off-field gossip or anything like that. This is all okay. And then these idiots had to stand there and go, rat or raccoon, and then hug and kiss and whatever. And then the GM's got to speak because everyone's like, what the heck is going on with your team? All I had to say was, listen, We're stupid men. We had a fight. It's over. We're moving on. No big deal. But this is the Mets, and it's got to be something more than it ever was. But it, yeah, it might have worked. So let's do it again.
It is true that for most teams, it simply is, yeah, you know what? We had some frustration. We weren't playing good baseball, but we got it out, and we're moving on. But because it's the Mets, it has to be. We were arguing over a rat or a raccoon. And Lindor was asked, have you ever seen a rat? And he's like, yeah, I'm from Puerto Rico. Yeah, we got rats. Because people are like, if you've ever seen a rat, you know you can't confuse it with a raccoon.
No, it's a terrible fight.
Mraz, do you think that the fattest rat could look like the skinniest raccoon?
I mean, no, because the hair is different and the face should be different. But one step further, if I'm the Mets, I'm ticked off if there's really an unidentifiable rodent that you could get confused. Are you rushing into City Field to make sure you're buying food anytime soon? If these things are running all through the tunnels and everything like this, this seems like a horrible business strategy for the Mets to have their star players literally saying there is an unidentifiable rodent that close to the concourse. I think that's a major issue for the Mets.
I love it. I end up thinking that this becomes like a mascot story, and it, you know, instead of that stupid rally monkey that they had with the Angels, now it's a rally raccoon or something like that that they have in the Jumbotron. It's perfect.
But the problem is, a week ago, they made up a fake hitting coach, and then it got their real hitting coach fired. So maybe we need to stop with the fake mascots for a bit. We already played this card a week ago.
Mraz, don't get jealous. You're just angry because the Mets are in first place, the Yankees aren't, and you beat your chest. Ho, ho, ho. Sports giant. The Yankees are going to be in first place by the time I take the airwaves on WFAN. Listen to me, as the Yankees are going to be in first place, and that didn't happen, and the Mets can't identify a raccoon or a rat, and now they're in first place. Ho, ho, ho. Sports giant.
Ho, ho, ho. Sports giant.
Enjoy your rat or raccoon. There's plenty of other stuff we could fight about all week. I can't to the Yankee thing a half an hour.
But we should also point out the Mets are three ahead of the Yankees in the all-important loss column, too. So there's even that. Head-to-head, the Mets are thriving.
Huh.
Now, on Saturday night, Mraz did a show on WFAN, and I'm sure this will come up at some point later on in the show, but I do want to ask, did you address that you had lied to your audience knowingly, willfully, you had lied to your adoring fans by proclaiming that the Yankees were going to be in first place by the time you took the airwaves that night?
Not once, but twice, because I felt like my first one you guys wouldn't have liked as much. So I made sure I doubled down and did it a second time later on. Oh, by the way, in a very rushed 80-minute show, I made sure I got it in twice.
I was going to say, you were on for 7 minutes. You did twice? You apologized?
That's how paranoid I was, because I know this is where the bread is buttered here in the morning, and I did not want to face the music, so I did it twice.
So how long were you scheduled to be on originally on Saturday?
4 hours.
You were scheduled to be on 6 to 10?
Yeah, well, 9:45, so 3 hours, 45 minutes, yes, because the Nets pregame show was coming on.
And the Yankees game ended up going long?
Well, it got rain-delayed 3 hours, and then it went 11 innings. It was the first time the Yankees had a rain delay all year, and they always end these games in the 10th with the runner on second. They go the 11th inning, and in the midst of it, it ended up downpouring in the middle of the game, so much so that the producers were frantically telling me, hey, you may need to come on, and Sterling may need to throw to you in a rain delay.
Oh, wow.
Which, to me, I was like, please, that would make it. If we could have the audio forever of Sterling trying to stumble through my name and throw to me, would have been perfect. That, unfortunately, never happened. But in the end, I got technically an hour and a half block, but they were so behind on commercials that I think I was on the air for a total of 35 minutes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mraz had an 80-minute window. They had to play 55 minutes of spots to make it back up.
I started talking to Connor Green. We get my ear. We need to break again here in 2 minutes. Okay.
I heard that there was a Connor Green grumbling, get me out of here at one point.
Because that was the other thing, too. The post-game show, you would think, would hurry up. The post-game show was like it was 15 minutes longer than a normal post-game show. And I get in the ear of Connor Green, get me out of here. He's even been beaten down.
The most optimistic, spry young guy. Just got full-time. Should be full of just excitement and enthusiasm. Buried on a Saturday night after 5.5 hours of Yankee game. Get me out of here.
8-hour Yankee broadcast on Saturday on the radio. An 8-hour broadcast, top to bottom. Pre-game show to post-game show.
That's not right at Sterling's age. He should not have to be anchoring 8 hours of Yankee coverage.
Oh, believe me, they have their other Yankee people who are at the stadium. They made sure John got a nice 2.5-hour break during that delay. He stepped out. They were sitting in the booth. You know, I don't know what he was doing, eating lunch.
They did a 2.5-hour rain delay and didn't go to you back at the studio, huh?
Well, because, yeah, technically I wasn't live until 5. That's when they could lean on me. I don't know. It's all union stuff. Don't ask me.
That's brutal. Oh, man. We're going to have to play a clip, though, from this at some point on the show.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Well, there is a – I did get prank called. That's coming in soundcheck.
Oh, excellent. All right, perfect. Standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
Oh, my goodness.
We've got headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Still without Zion and Brandon Ingram, and with their GM 50 grand lighter, the Pelicans got another important win last night in Charlotte.
Now Lonzo just checked in. One-on-one with Biombo. Pull up for three. Got it! Right wing down!
Well, if Biombo ain't going to go out and guard him, Lonzo says, I got a little something for you here.
That's from Pels Radio. New Orleans, a 112-110 decision over the Hornets, climbing within a game and a half of the Spurs for the final spot in the play-in with 4 to go. Lonzo scored 12 with 6 assists last night. Eric Bledsoe had 24 and 11. The Kings took care of the Thunder, 126-98. Sacramento is now 2.5 behind the Spurs. The Bulls are 2.5 back of the Pacers for 10th in the East after a 108-98 96 win in Detroit. Zach LaVine had 30. The Lakers, a 123-110 home win over the Suns. Anthony Davis, 42 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. His team now a game behind Portland for 6th. And the Mavs dumped the Cavs, 124-97, after Luka Doncic was tossed early in the third for a groin shot to Colin Sexton. Both players said it was unintentional. The final win on the diamond yesterday went to the Braves, 6-1 over the Phillies. Atlanta's won 5-6. Now we go back to those Mets. On top of all that idiocy, there is the injury concerns for Jacob DeGrom. Didn't pitch earlier this week because of right lat inflammation. He left yesterday's start after 5 with different right side issues. Here's his manager, Luis Rojas.
The only good sign that you want to probably point out is that he stayed there. You know, it's not that he's walking out yet or anything. He wanted to talk through it and saying, like, maybe I can, you know, maybe I can pitch through this, because his tightness, he wasn't anything sore, no pain.
His tightness, and it's on lower than his lat on his right side. DeGrom called trainers out as he warmed up for the 6th inning. The Mets held on for a 4-2 win over Arizona. They've reeled off 5 in a row, their longest win streak since 2019. Medina Spirit is still the Kentucky Derby winner for the moment, and no matter what, your winnings are safe. But the horse has failed a post-Derby drug test more than 2 times the legal limit of betamethasone was found in the horse's system. The Derby win could be taken away, and maybe Medina Spirit can't run the Preakness this weekend. Shockingly, trainer Bob Baffert says he did nothing wrong, but he has been suspended from Churchill Downs. Rory McIlroy won the Wells Fargo Championship by a shot to end an 18-month title drought, and Martin Truex Jr. got his 3rd win of the NASCAR Cup season at Darlington. He is the only driver with multiple victories so far this season. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, it's a momentous Monday, so an inspirational story in sports, including excelling at football with only one hand. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're found it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
It's always a great lesson from the one and only Little Mo. Stay positive, eat, drink, and breathe positivity. And that's exactly the attitude of Eddie Delaney. What a cool story and career. For Eddie, he was born without a hand. He ended up becoming a standout high school football defensive end and was recruited by multiple Division II programs. But he said, you know what? I want to play the FCS level. I want to go FCS, which is just a step under the big boys at 1A. And so he plays at University of Albany at FCS. And he immediately pays dividends and immediately becomes one of the best players in FCS. He is a 3-time All-Conference team, Northeast Conference for Albany, and helps lead them to 3 conference championships and their first ever appearance in the FCS playoffs. So Eddie Delaney, despite only being born with one hand and growing to 6'6", 250 and playing defensive end, becomes a standout on the football field. He is honored in 2012 with a Maxwell Award as well. That's how elite he was on the football field. He ends up graduating and totally takes on this cause of helping young people, especially in sports, who are born without full limbs or do not have full limbs. And it is an organization called Nub Ability Athletics, and it helps young people who may not have a hand, may not have an arm, may not have feet, may not have full legs, etc., and helps them excel in sports. And he becomes not only a leader for that organization, helping run camps and clinics nationwide for kids from the ages of 4 through 17, but he also is the head football coach for the organization and completely responsible for the entire football program, including camp planning, scheduling, managing the athletes, has 100 volunteers working under him coast to coast for this. He also holds a full-time job at Ticketmaster and Live Nation, organizing sporting events and concerts and live events as well, especially last year in the middle of the pandemic when so many things got canceled, helping keep that thing going with drive-through events and drive-in events. He's been featured by Sports Illustrated, CNN as well, the Pac-12 Network, and many more. And it's really cool as he is now being honored by the University of Albany, his alma mater, as an outstanding alumni. So what a cool career on the field, off the field, still with athletics for Eddie Delaney. The dude is all about positivity. That's how you keep going. That's how you do great things. That's how you accomplish what he's been able to accomplish. And he's helping out every step of the way, everybody around him. So this is a great story. I'm glad that Mraz brought this to my attention. Eddie is absolutely deserving of being part of a segment where we honor Little Mo each and every week. Mraz, he graduated from Sachem, and this is a school close to you, right? Is it West Babylon's rival?
It is not West Babylon's rival, but it is where my cousin Zach played football as well and got a scholarship, and he obviously knew this young man well. And this story has caught very much a lot of fire on Long Island, local news story coverages of it. That's where it caught my eye, and I said, I got to send this along because it seems perfect for what we do on Momentous Monday.
Yeah, pretty cool. Wow. What an awesome story. If you guys got stories out there of inspiration in sports, we do it every single Monday in honor of Mo, so send that along to me. You can do it on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook as well, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Or you can email me. If you just go to the CBS Sports Radio website, you'll be able to find the email address for me as well. There it's damon.amendolara@odyssey.com, which is why I don't oftentimes use it on the air because it's just a mouthful. It's easier if you just go to our website and then click on the link. It's probably easier to send it along that way. Coming up, Adam Rank's going to join us later on in the show. Hour number four, he's a huge Bears fan. And with the drafting of Justin Fields, he's got life. He's got juice. He now has a zest for his football team, which coming into the offseason with Andy Dalton being proclaimed QB1, not a lot of Bears fans had. So Rank's going to join us. He's always very funny and very fun to have on the show. He joined us before the draft, and now we get to actually talk to him about his football team because, let's face it, there hasn't been a lot to talk about when it comes to Bears quarterbacking in quite some time. And also, we got the schedule coming out this week. That's Wednesday night, right, Mraz? NFL schedule?
It is Wednesday night. So a big reveal, and we'll have everything. Your primetime games, your Thanksgiving, opening night. Let's go. Big week of the NFL.
Are you the type of person that sets aside Wednesday night to sit in front of the TV and watch NFL Network actually release this thing?
So I have actually never watched the schedule release because what always happens is the local beat reporters end up getting the schedule a couple hours before, and I end up being the guy that takes a peek on Twitter and figures it all out.
Because we know the opponents for all of these teams. We just don't know, and we know where they're going to play. We just don't know what time slots or what weeks they're going to play.
Exactly. It's the weeks and the time slots. But I'm a big, like, I need to look at Thanksgiving. I want to look at the Sunday night, Monday night schedule, see what networks got screwed. I'm a weirdo that sinks my teeth into scheduling tidbits. I love it.
So that's Wednesday night. So on Thursday morning, obviously, we will have a reaction to the NFL scheduling. And also later on in the show, a little over an hour from now, it appears like the NFL might be preparing for life after Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So are they reading the tea leaves? Do they know something that we don't know? We'll discuss this, as there's a lot of focus and scrutiny on the Green Bay situation with Aaron Rodgers, obviously. On the phones, you can hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. Again, that's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. As I mentioned, there's only a week to go now in the NBA season. Things will wrap up coming up on Sunday, and then the playoffs already. So we are here, and the NHL regular season also wrapping up this week. There's like 17 Vancouver Canucks games, and then finally we'll get to the NHL postseason. When we come back, as the NBA gets prepared for its playoffs, One team on one coast surging, one team on the other coast swooning, and they played yesterday. We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.